Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
Hi, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. It is a fantastic Monday, and I hope you spend it this Saturday at the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, to watch LSU beat Ole Miss and destroy dreams. They have 136 draft beers. They have giant TVs to see all the delicious tears of the Ole Miss Rebel faithful. They have duck-braised nachos, great burgers, side orders you can't get anywhere else. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court. They support us, so you should support them. Woohoo! Saints are 3-4. Technically, like a half game out of first, right? Dave, this...
Hold on. I'm going to stop you right there, Ralph, real quick. We were talking about this in the pregame. It is not Reuben Mays who had the most yards in Saints history in a single game. It's George Rogers with 206 in 1983 against the Cardinals.
Nice! That was Bum Phillips. He didn't believe in the forward pass.
That's right.
And he had a rotation of Dave Wilson and Kenny Stabler at quarterback. You can't really blame him. Dave, was yesterday as close to a sexual experience that you can have at a football game is? Because your boy, Mark Ingram... ran for 172 yards on 24 carries. Was it the greatest, most exciting experience you've ever had at a Saints game?
I I've been to a lot of Saints games and seen a lot of wonderful things. I don't know if Mark Ingram going for 173 was the greatest, but, you know, it's up there. It's just it feels satisfying to see the Saints actually do something that you've wanted to see them do for quite a while.
32 passes, 31 run.
It's great for them to have a lot of balance. You know, they always, you know, some of that balance is a product of them pulling away at the end of the game and being able to run the ball later in the game to kill some clock. So it's probably, in reality, it was probably still a little bit more skewed toward passing than running. But it's good to see Peyton at least give it the old college try as far as sticking with the running game. I would say that's about as close as you're going to get. And Mark Ingram, you know, he didn't let him down. I mean, he basically said, you know, here you go, man. Kyrie's out and Pierre's out. You're going to get the touches. It's Sunday night. Let's see what you got. And Mark Ingram didn't disappoint. And I don't think anybody should be surprised after what we've seen from him this season, earlier in the season, before he broke his thumb, broke his hand, whatever. Really, you know, from this point on, it's just continuing that. I really want to see Peyton continue to do that. You know, maybe this was part of the game plan in particular against the Packers. Maybe he said, you know what, these guys aren't really that
Carolina's
good.
Carolina's pretty awful against the run, too.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, obviously it has to do with the team you're playing, but In many senses, it really shouldn't have to do with the team you're playing. You really should just devote yourself to the run regardless and wear them down. And when you're able to do those things, then, you know, you can sell the play action and you can open it up for Drew to go deep like he did this game. Mm-hmm. I just think that overall offensive success starts with a successful running game, and when you have the ability to keep the defense honest and they can't just focus solely on stopping Jimmy Graham or covering Kenny Stills or Brandon Cooks or something like that, you can compare it to the LSU game that I was at this Saturday. I don't think I should say that too loudly, but you know, that drive, that the game-winning scoring drive, that LSU put together in the fourth quarter. It was, what, 12 straight runs. The only pass in that entire series was the touchdown pass. You know, Les Miles had been run. Now, of course, Les Miles has, you know, two or three pretty darn good college running backs, and he can just keep rotating them in and out and keep pounding away at that Ole Miss defense. But, you know,
that offensive line too.
Yeah, they say that the left tackle Collins is going to, like, somebody today I saw on Twitter, one of the LSU coaches was like, if he's not a top 10 or top 5 or top 10 pick, then you can kiss my ass.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, you're not going to get 10, 12 yard gains on every running play, but as long as you just stick with it, it's gonna happen. Well, and you gotta keep pounding away at that rock.
Here's a fun question, Andrew. For Mark Ingram to get to 1,000 yards, he needs to average 74 yards the rest of the year, 74 mm-hmm. yards a game. Can he get to 1,000 yards?
I was just thinking that. I'm going to say no, because I think some of these guys come back healthy. And,
yeah,
you know, as much as I liked to see him get that many touches, look, these guys, I mean, he's already hurt his thumb. Pierre Thomas has been out. Kyrie Robinson's out. So these guys haven't been able to stay healthy getting 10 touches a game. So I think, you know, starting to give him the workload where he's getting 20, 25, that's not sustainable for his health, obviously. So I still think the system that the Saints have is not really conducive to a guy rushing for 1,000. But, you know, if he keeps this current form that he's under, he could get pretty close. I mean, definitely 800, 850.
Yeah. Dave, you think he can get to 1,000?
Nah, you know, everything Andrew said is accurate. You know, you're going to have guys getting back, getting healthy. You know, they'll wind up going back to spreading the ball around, which, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that I agree with that. But that's probably what's going to happen. And yeah, you know, I think it'll be a long time before you see another 1,000 yard Saints rusher.
I think he can get there, because the thing is, they've got Carolina twice. They've got Atlanta another time. They've got Pittsburgh, who's terrible against the run. I mean, the thing is, you think, well, will he get 75 every week? Probably not. But I could see another couple games where he gets 100 yards, because they play a lot of crappy run defenses. I think it's better than 50-50 that he gets it. I think it's
no way.
60.
Come on.
I think he's not going to get like 1,100, but I think I think it's going to be really, really close. I think he's going to get over 900. I think he's going to get to 900 at least.
I hope you're right.
Well, they Andrew, well, the Drew Brees, he can't throw deep. That kind of got a little bit quashed against Detroit when he hit Stills, and he hit Brandon Cooks. He hit Kenny Stills, and Brandon Cooks dropped another one. He hit Jimmy Graham for a touchdown. We're not going to rehash this. Can Drew Brees hit the deep ball? But how much does Kenny Stills help? I feel like we might have missed that in the preseason. We're like, Kenny Stills is hurt. He wasn't that big. He's a quad. He'll be fine. It's okay. I feel like is that something we missed in the preseason? We're like, that was a really big deal, maybe.
I think so. I mean, I think he really filled the role that, I mean, if you remember Lance Moore and what he did for the Saints, that's the kind of the first time this season he kind of had a vintage Lance Moore performance, just in terms of just making the tough catches. I mean, Lance Moore, if there was one thing that he always did besides running great routes and always finding the soft spot in the zone, is just having great hands, making the tough catches. And still has really impressed me. I mean, he's never really striked me as a guy that had incredible hands. But certainly last night it looked like it. So now all of a sudden you've got him making plays underneath, and Cooks was making some too. Those guys can still stretch the defense. So, you know, they're really starting to become kind of the complete two and threes. And that's what starts to open stuff underneath for Colston. So those guys need to make plays. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
it helps.
Brandon Cooks had his big breakout game. And I know Saints receivers sort of come and go. It's sort of like whack-a-mole. You know, one week it's – even when they were at their peak, one week it's Colston, then it's Meacham, then it's Moore. How much are we going to see Brandon Cooks get – I feel like he gets more volume than the other guys. How much is this going to be sustained for Brandon Cooks, you think, going forward?
Yeah, I mean, he does seem to get a little bit more volume than most of the other guys. I think that's just a product of his position and his skill set. But I wouldn't expect it to totally sustain. In other words, it wouldn't surprise me at all if in the game Thursday night, you know, you don't see him too much, and instead, you know, Drew goes to Stills heavily, or even Graham, even though he used Graham a little bit, or maybe Colston will get a little bit more work than he did last Sunday. I mean, you just never see any Saints receiver get a whole lot of targets or a whole lot of touches 16 straight games through in a season. It just doesn't work that way, which is, of course, why everybody always says stay away from Saints receivers when you're talking about fantasy football. So it's just too unpredictable. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the season, I think Cooks will probably be up there on the top of the list for, you know, targets and catches and maybe even total yardage. But, you know, it's not going to be something that he gets every week. You know, it'll be here and there.
Yeah. Me and Andrew, sometimes we text back and forth during the day after Saints games. And the one thing
that's
that I
adorable.
Said, it is. I didn't call him Tots today, though, but maybe next week.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed about that.
But the one thing I said when we were texting, I said in my column is, the thing that was most exciting to me about everything in the game yesterday was 2013 Cam Jordan reappeared.
Yeah, he's been missed for sure, huh?
Yeah. So
It's easy to get sacks when nobody blocks you.
Well, I mean, but Andrew, you watched the tape. How much of it was the note was just, do you think Green Bay's tackles sucking, and how much of it was Cam Jordan rushing better? Or is that something hard to tell?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, but I definitely think part of it is just a banged up offensive line and lesser talent going up against them. And you know, earlier in the season, you play healthy tackles, and in general, I think he in particular has faced some tough right tackles.
Carolina's tackles suck.
Yeah, so and injuries play a part. You know, guys get banged up later in the season, and I think the other thing is the Saints have just played some pretty good offensive lines, and they've played some pretty good schemes and some double teams and that sort of thing. So that's been tough on Cam. But yeah, I mean, the Saints need him. Look, double teams, whatever. He needs to find ways to get to the quarterback and help this team, because, you know, you really felt like at the end of last year he was the best player on the team or on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, that helps the team win games. And so obviously if he drops a significant level, your defense just isn't going to be as good. It makes everyone around him better. So that these are the kinds of games that we expect out of him. And if the Saints are going to come anywhere close to being, you know, that top five defense we saw last year, he really needs to continue to play like this.
Well, before I get to another question on the defense, I want to – the trade deadline in the NFL is tomorrow, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And the Saints have a gaping hole at corner. So there's nothing brewing with the Saints, but the Saints are usually hush-hush about that sort of thing anyway. So, Dave, my question to you is, if some random team calls up Mickey Loomis and they say, Mickey, I got a starting corner that's Fred Thomas pre-2005 quality. I want a fourth-round pick. Do you do it?
Well, I'll play your little fantasy scenario because that's what it is. It's a fantasy. I mean, that's not happening.
People make trades. They traded for McKenzie during the year, way back in the day.
I just don't see that happening. I don't think you make the trade.
The McKenzie pickup was during the season?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That was before the Patriots game, right?
No. He's talking about originally from the Packers.
Yeah. During the year, they did the deal the week of the deadline, and they signed him to an extension too, because that was it was a contract situation where
That's right. He was pissed at the Packers for not giving him his money.
Yeah.
I don't see the Saints doing anything. They really haven't under Loomis, and I think the main reason why I say that is the cap situation. I just think any player that would want to be traded is probably a guy that's unhappy about his contract situation and wants a new one. And that's just not a situation the Saints can really get into right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, save like you know, a rookie on the last year of his deal. I just don't see the Saints mortgaging a draft pick for a one-year rental when they're 3-4, you know. Yeah. So I just don't really see that happening. And, you know, for me, the really – so if you ask me what's been the biggest problem with the Saints, obviously we would all probably say the number two corner. But what's been really head-scratching and confusing about all this is, you know, so you plug in Patrick Robinson, he's god-awful. So then he gets replaced by Corey White. He's got awful. But somewhere in between, you know, you had Patrick Robinson have that game against the Bucks come out of nowhere. And then Corey White against the Packers just out of nowhere again. It's so these guys, I mean, they're showing us glimpses of capability here. It's not like they're botching it each and every single week. Well, and so to be honest with you, Ralph, right now, I'm not really sure what the Saints have at corner.
Well, that's a great question. And then, and this is why one of the reasons we have you on, besides the fact that you make fun of me for sending you romantic texts, you watch the film. And here's a theory. Here's the theory that I'm going to throw at you. Because Rob Ryan doesn't blitz. He didn't blitz against Green Bay. Here's a theory, Andrew, for you. Corey White and Patrick Robinson are good at being very aggressive. Now, I know it didn't work for Corey White against Detroit, but he's much better if he can be aggressive. And when they played the two high safeties last night, those corners could be aggressive, going up, making tackles, and that's better for them. It helps them at least achieve mediocrity. So my question to you is, if Rob Ryan continues with this, I'm only going to rush four, maybe occasionally five, and I'm going to play two high safeties – what do teams do to sort of attack that?
Well, I think it depends on the quarterback. And for example, Thursday, I fully expect the Saints to be really aggressive. Because it's an accuracy thing. I mean, you got to look at it this way. I mean, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's been murdering everyone. And so I think the game plan was good coming in. I don't think it's so much that Rob Ryan refuses to blitz. I think he was just like, all right, we've got a quarterback that's red hot, that's not missing a single throw. So, F it, I'm going to put 7-8 guys in coverage every time, and we might not sack them, and we just have to hope that Cam and Junior can beat guys one-on-one every once in a while. But otherwise, I'm just going to put all my guys back there. And it was an effective thing because, yes, they gave up a lot of stuff on an open field, but once the field started to shrink and the windows became smaller in the red zone when they had less field to work with, they weren't really able to complete those passes because there were so many guys in coverage. And so, you know, I think that was a good game plan against a guy like Aaron Rodgers. With a guy like Cam Newton, you want to rattle him because he's not the kind of guy that sets his feet. He's not the kind of guy that plants and always has perfect mechanics when he throws. And so he does a lot of stuff off balance. You know, he'll throw off his back foot. And so if you get pressure on him and kind of force him to do those things, he can lose accuracy pretty significantly, and that's where you can get the picks, the turnovers.
Yeah. Dave, about this defense, you know, we mentioned Cam Newton playing well. I thought Hawthorne plays well, but what's a guy that you sort
Cam
of
watched?
Cam Jordan. what's a guy that you saw last night that you were like, man, he's playing really good. It's about goddamn time.
You know, I don't see it like you guys see it when you're watching it on
Mark Ingram.
Well, you know what they say, the best defense is a good offense. you know, I didn't have the benefit of watching it on TV, and of course I sit so low that I don't get a very good aerial or you know, up high perspective. So it's a little bit more difficult for me to see when I'm actually at the game. I mean, again, you know, Cam Jordan is the one that sticks out. I mean, he's been just totally non-existent this season. I think he had one sack prior to this game.
Two,
yeah,
no,
one
prior to this game.
One,
he had,
I think he had one.
Yeah. So, I'll start with you, Andrew. How did we feel about the hyper aggressive play calling by both Sean Payton and Mike McCarthy last night?
I was okay with it. I just didn't – I mean, on 4th-and-2, I just think running with no fullback, you know, out of a two tight end set, I didn't love that. But otherwise, I thought the play calling was pretty good. I was happy with it. Yeah, like Dave said, he that's about as much as you're going to see Sean Payton commit to the run. So, you know, I thought it was fine. I mean, if I'm thinking of any play call in particular that was a big mistake, I can't really think of one off the top of my head.
What did you guys think of the – I know it's Green Bay, but what did you think of the onside – what did you think of the onside kick really early by Green Bay?
Oh, I thought it was a great decision. I mean, I think they were looking at it as anytime you can steal a possession away from a quarterback like that, and I use that interchangeably with the Packers and Saints.
Yeah.
That's a huge win. And at that point, they're up. I think they were up a score, and, you know, they were up, was it 10-7 or 14-7? Yeah. So, you know, they kick an onside kick, they get that extra possession, and they go down and score. All of a sudden, the Saints are down 2 scores. You take the crowd out of it. You start to have momentum. And that's a position where we've seen Drew Brees maybe throw a pick after that before. So, I mean, that to me was a critical turning point in the game. An incredible heads up by Roman Humber to recognize that, find the football, and at least kind of get his hands on it to where it bounced out of bounds.
Yep.
So that to me was a huge play in the game. Incredible heads up from him on special teams.
Dave, the mm-hmm. NFC South, it continues to be a crap show.
Well, we're going to find out this Thursday how it's going
to
happen.
We'll get to that. But the Atlanta,
oh, I love it,
Carolina, and oh, Tampa all led the game with less than 2 minutes to go, and all three lost.
Oh, man. It's like everybody in the NFC South just sucks at holding on to leads, don't we?
But my question is, you were vociferous a couple of weeks ago and like somebody's getting the 9-7 or 10-6. Have you changed your mind?
No. I still think somebody's going to get the 10-6.
Oh my God.
Come on, Dave. Oh my come gosh. On.
And it very well may be the Saints, you motherfuckers.
You realize that means their margin is they can only lose twice more.
They're going 7-2 the rest of the way.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Well, Andrew, what do you think the Saints? I still say after my column today, the Saints ceiling's 8-8.
That might be all they need. That's all they need.
No, it's I believe yeah. it. 8-8.
No, I think the ceiling is 9-7. I mean, but I say that, and they're going to have to play every game from here on out like they did against the Packers. You know, in other words, they got to keep that same level of performance and consistency, and if they can play like that more often than not, then I could see them going on a 5-3 run here, maybe 6-2. I just don't see. I have a hard time seeing them.
I don't
not lose more games.
For Carolina to get to 9, they're 3-4-1. So they got to go 6-2 the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
No. Mine went there. I mean, they give up over 5 yards a rush. So, I mean, Dave, I think you're a couple weeks away from giving up that. By the way, Mike Smith is still employed some kind of way.
I'm going to say this, guys. Smitty. I mean, I obviously, you know, things can happen, an injury to a key player. I mean, there are game changers. But I think Carolina needs this game Thursday worse than the Saints do.
We'll get to that. That's my biggest fear is that I think the Carolina, they're going to play like the Saints played Sunday night. Maybe not as well, but with the same amount of intensity as the Saints had yesterday, where they're just like, this is it. This is the
awful, and this is the game. This is it.
Yeah. So let's go to Twitter questions. So we'll just fire it out. This is Allie of Sin, Dave. I'll start with you.
Thoughts? Oh, she's a big fan.
She is. She like breaks down tape and stuff. She's like, what do you think of the single high safety? I'm like, whoa.
He's awesome.
I'm like, I don't do that. I just make jokes. So Dave, thoughts on fan superstitions? She says, I'm considering wearing one of my Saints shirts that was lucky in 2012 in 2014 every week. So do you have fan superstitions?
Do I have any superstitions?
Yeah,
I really don't, actually. And you know what? Yesterday when I went to the game, you know, I wanted to wear something black, but I didn't want to wear – it was still kind of warm. It's still been kind of warm here in New Orleans, and so I didn't really want to wear it.
Dave, your level of comfort has nothing to do with superstition.
Oh, no, it does. And I didn't really want to wear an all-black jersey and have to walk from the car to the Superdome and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, normally in that situation, I would wear like a black Saints polo that I have. But that wasn't clean, So honestly, yesterday I went to the game and I just wore a regular plain black polo shirt, no Saints on it at all. I wore a Saints hat, but that was like the first time that I had ever been to a Saints game and not worn a Saints shirt.
Well, you realize you have to do that again.
Andrew, are you
superstitious? Well, I am now.
Are you superstitious, Andrew? Do you
unbelievably superstitious? Yeah. I have my son do a little routine with me before my tennis matches, and I'm undefeated when he does it. So I try.
Like undefeated, like 2-0, or undefeated, like
20? No. Like I went on a run of like 9-0 with him this year, and then I played a guy that I was pretty certain I would lose to, so I specifically had him not do it because I didn't want to break the streak.
That's not fair. You're batting the stats.
That's right. I was. But so with the Saints, my wife made red beans last Sunday. She's a great cook. I mean, she makes amazing red beans and rice. And
she must be listening.
She did that numerous times last season. And whenever she would do it, they would win.
Yeah.
And she we have two kids now. It's just more hectic. And so she hasn't been able to do it this season. But last night was the first night they did that she did. And then the Saints played like that. So. Now I'm going to try to get her to do it again every Sunday. And then my dad just gave me, for my birthday in September, a new Saints shirt, and it didn't fit me, so I had to send it back and get the right size. And I just got it in time for this game, and I wore that for the first time, and it gave the Saints a win. So they're undefeated with that shirt, so I'm definitely going to ride that until it stops working.
Man,
too.
I don't really have too many superstitions. I mean,
the own coach has directed us to be superstitious. Let's not forget in the playoffs with the pie pies and
yeah,
Gatorade. Whatever works for you, whatever voodoo, you know, yeah. Whatever kind of magic you want to do to affect the outcome of the game. That's what makes this whole thing fun.
The one thing is, I haven't been drinking as much Crown as I usually do because I had like 2/5 of it and I ran out and I just haven't gone to the liquor store to buy more. So I've been drinking strawberry Covington ale, and
that's good stuff.
It is. It's really good. And Jack Daniels. I'm not superstitious. Like I always wear a Saints shirt while I'm watching the Saints, but I have like 10 of them. So I just change it up. This is from,
but you don't keep doing the same one. If it works,
I guess I can go. I guess I'll break out the same one.
Oh yeah. If I get a shirt that works, I milk it until it's dry, man. Yeah.
So this one is from Reichert. Can the number 2 cornerback, can it be upgraded from flaming bag of shit to not very good? Is it possible without a trade?
I mean, I think we sort of saw that this past week. So maybe the answer is always just rush 4 and leave 2 high safeties, to allow these guys to gamble a little bit more. But no, I still think that's the main weakness of this team, and it will rear its ugly head without question points in the season. I think Robinson and Corey White are good enough that they can occasionally have decent games where they go, you know, 2-3 quarters without making a huge mistake. But I think at the end of the day, the Saints just don't have a corner that's really consistent at number 2. So from time to time, you're going to want to pull your hair out. And I think that's going to happen for the rest of the season, unfortunately.
Dave, this one's for you from the boat lawyer. If Bobby Hebert had a stroke during the point after, how would we know? It's kind of mean, but. He gets fired up.
I'm just, you know, every day that I listen to sports talk on WWL and I listen to Bobby Hebert, I just sit there and I just baffles me that the man has a job in radio. It baffles me that the man's whole entire life is based around.
Like Hokie Gaijon and Deke Bellevue are that much better.
Hokie's fine. I mean, you know, Hokie's totally fine, and Deke is that. It's the fact that, I mean, Bobby Hebert will ask a question or he'll make a point, and it's just like his mind goes off in 3 different directions, and he never even asks a. I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, sometimes I listen to him interview somebody, and he starts off asking a question and he never actually finishes the question. And then he just winds up going, makes a statement.
I can tell you what that is.
By the end of it, it's just he's silent and he's waiting for the player to respond.
I can tell you I can tell you exactly what that is, Dave, because I worked with Bobby Hebert when him and Kenny had the show to start right after Buddy D died. I can tell you exactly what that is. That's called not preparing for an interview. Because when you prepare for an interview, you have your questions, and you might go off script depending on how they answer. But when you don't have any questions prepared, that's when it just goes off the rails really quickly.
Have you guys noticed
when Sean Payton does the press conferences that he's a lot more patient with Bobby than the others?
I have not noticed that.
Now that you mention it, Andrew, I did. It's true.
I mean, he'll just let Bobby kind of rant and make his statement and then just kind of like tolerate it and then give his answer. Whereas with some of the guys, you know, they'll talk for like literally 5 seconds and he's immediately, is there a question somewhere in there?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think he'd be pulling that ripcord with Bobby about 2 seconds in if he didn't like it.
Yeah, man, maybe it's because Bobby's a former player and he gets a little bit more rope.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so this is from Mike Mills. If the Saints beat Carolina and go on to win the division, how many games do they win the division by? Over, under, 1.5. Dave, you can go first.
One and a half. That's
a lot.
Well, but that's a good place to put it because that's right in the middle there. You know what? I'm going to say over. I just, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I just feel like there's going to be some separation. It's gonna start happening.
Andrew?
I think if the Saints lose, it could easily be neck and neck all the way down to the wire. But, yeah, I think if the Saints win, I'll pick the over. I think the Saints will end up kind of running away with it. Not that the Saints are going to win every week. You know, I could easily see them going 8-8, but I just think Carolina Falcons continue to implode.
Yeah, I mean, if they win this week, they'll be 4-4, and Carolina will be 3-5-1.
3-6-1, right?
No, 3-5-1.
Oh, right,
3-4.
Okay.
But
right,
so
right,
then
right.
You just do the math. So let's say the Saints get to 4-4, and the Saints go 4-4 the rest of the way. Carolina, to get to 8 wins, where they'd be 3-5-1. They'd have to go 5-2 in their last 7 to get to 8-7-1. That's a really, really steep climb for Carolina. And if you start getting, well, the Saints are going to get to, if the Saints go to 5-3, I mean, it's Carolina, we'll get to it in a second. This game is like almost like do or die for them. But the Saints Phoenix, Kira 16, he says, Kevin's not here, but we'll answer anyway. Should Feed Him More Chance be started for Ingram or Gallet?
Wait,
I don't understand the question.
Should we start the Feed Him More Chance for either Ingram or Gallet, Dave?
Well, what are we feeding Gallet exactly?
I don't know, quarterbacks?
Body bags?
Body bags.
I would go with Ingram on that one.
Yeah, agreed.
Dave, where are you taking Mark Ingram to celebrate?
Commanders.
No.
Vicious.
What is Mark Ingram? I'll take him to the LSU Alabama game next weekend.
This is a fantasy league question. Should we trade Brandon Cooks around the league so he always plays Ralph? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I traded away Drew Brees and Antonio Brown for Matt Ryan, Zach Stacy, and Alshon Jeffrey.
When did you do this?
I don't know, a couple of weeks ago.
You traded Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I just wanted Drew.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Cause
you're terrible at fantasy
football. I'm terrible at fantasy. I had Mark Ingram on my bench yesterday. I'm fucking terrible at fantasy.
If you were ever going to start Mark Ingram, ever, if he is on your team and you don't start him when Kyrie Robinson and Pierre Thomas are out, why would you ever start him? Well, you might as well cut him because you're never going to play him.
Well, I felt like if I sat put him on the bench, that would help the Saints because I'm so terrible at fantasy.
Speaking of superstition.
It is. I'm really – I traded Drew Brees just to get him off my team. I felt like if I could get Drew Brees off my team, I could get my fantasy stink off of him. And if I got Matt Ryan, I'd put the fantasy stink on him.
So far, so good.
So yeah, that's worked really well, actually.
I'm really superstitious about my fantasy team, but yet I run my fantasy team for the benefit of the Saints. Like, that is my true superstition. So this is from Sean Orleans. Why does Kevin...
What a dick.
Why does Kevin work on nights when y'all are recording podcasts? Because he's a dick and a selfish bastard, and he couldn't even make time to go in the stairwell and smoke a cigarette and eat a power bar and give us 10 minutes.
Right. But he never misses a wrestling practice.
No, he never misses. He's intercontinental.
But he misses Saints games, that's for sure.
Kansas. Well, and this is from Jason Hershon. When will the Saints ditch the toilet seat collar on their uniforms and go back to the pre-2012?
Yeah, what is with that?
I got to agree with him there.
I kind of hate the collar.
Oh, I hate. I agree with you guys as well. I mean, it's stupid. I always thought of it more as. It's like a vampire Dracula thing, not a toilet seat, but either way, that's probably not going anywhere as long as Nike's still making the uniforms.
I wonder who the guy is that made the judgment call on that. Like, if you go all the way down the line, I'd love to know the guy that made the decision, all right, we're going for this, and what was going through his mind?
Well, all right, here's another fantasy question, and then we got one more, and then we'll get to the Carolina game. Which is more likely, Saints win the Super Bowl or Ralph wins his fantasy league? The Saints are much more likely to win the Super Bowl. My fantasy team...
It's more likely that the Jags win the Super Bowl.
My combined fantasy record is 4-12 in the two leagues that I'm in.
Oh, my God, you're terrible.
I'm fucking terrible. I am...
This is in a league, mind you, where Ralph was bragging about picking up Tom Brady off the waiver wire. Look, I don't care. Like, if you're in a fantasy football league where Tom Brady becomes available, you should stop playing in that league.
Well, the thing is, in the Chronic Podcast League, it was only $20 to play. So people do some – I mean, I've approved, like, about six – like, people do crazy shit as far as trades. Like, I think Held's done, like, three trades. And like, I think there's been seven total trades. And I'm not talking, like, one guy for one day. I'm talking, like, three and four player swaps each way. Like, people are just – people just get fucking nuts. It's
weird. I gotta say, one trade a year in my league.
I gotta say, I made a blunder this week that I have never ever done in over a decade of playing fantasy football. But you know, it's been a busy week, and I never checked my lineup. And I almost never wait till Sunday, but I just happen to wait till Sunday. And so I get up at like, you know, I get up at like 8. And you know, playing with the kids, and it's like 9:31, and I realize that the fucking Falcons and Lions are playing in England at 9:30. So I'm like, shit, you know. I thought, oh yeah, I've got till 1, I've got plenty of time. And so I check, and Reggie Bush, sure enough, is on my team, doubtful, doesn't play. For the first time ever in over a decade, I started a guy who literally did not play in the game.
I do that like once a year.
It's the worst.
Jeff Banco. Hey, Dave, you can go first with this one. Why is Robert Meacham on the team? Is he a ghost for Halloween?
Meacham was non-existent last night, but he's been targeted quite a few times
earlier
this season. Yeah, what? I mean, with little success.
What is the point of Joe Morgan and
that's a good question.
What is the, well, what is the point
no,
of
I mean, look, they've got to make a decision. I mean, we've got a 53-man roster here. You've got two guys in Brandon Coleman and Shontavious Jones who are on the practice squad. So if you start getting these rash of injuries at receiver, you can always call one of those guys up. But what is the point in having two guys sit on your inactive list every single week?
It's like
keep one of them. If Joe Morgan's ahead in the pecking order, let's get rid of Nick Toon. Nick, it's done. The story with Nick Toon, it's over. He needs to go. Like, I'm done with the guy.
He's never going to amount to anything with
Joe
the Saints.
Morgan.
Can we
I
all
feel
agree
like
with
they're
that?
Scared. Nick Toon's never going to amount to anything. I think Joe Morgan, like, apparently he's not good enough to play, but I think they're scared to let him leave because I think
I'm fine with a fifth receiver that's inactive. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
My problem is that they're carrying six when you could have a guy that's on special teams that occasionally plays or that does something to help the team. Nick Toon is useless.
Dave, your thoughts?
I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand. I don't remember Joe Morgan or Nick Toon playing particularly bad, you know, where it was. I never saw anything to me that warranted them being inactive all the time. I mean, that's what I don't understand. I mean, I know that you.
Well, I mean,
you know,
they only keep four receivers active.
No, I mean,
so
I get that.
I think the real question is, why is Meacham still playing over these guys?
Yeah, I mean that's part of what I don't understand.
I'm surprised that Meacham is still playing over Morgan. I mean, I'm done with Toon, but I'm surprised Morgan hasn't gotten to the number four slot.
And I mean, Morgan, you remember? I mean, I think that first season during training camp, Morgan was
returning punts. He made the team.
Yeah.
Ran a punt back.
Yeah. So I mean, why isn't he active? And why don't they give him a chance to return kicks every now and then?
I don't know if his knee can handle punt returns yet. Yeah. Maybe.
Andrew, this is for you. It's not really a question. It's from Breeziest. He says, "Tell Juju I said hello."
Oh,
no, it was a question. He said, "Tell Juju I said hello."
Yeah. This is
from, hi.
Over
I'm
under
Burgundy?
Over under on Falcon wins 4. Dave.
Aren't they at 4 now?
They're at 2.
Oh, they only have 2. That's a shame. I'll go over. And they play Tampa Bay again, don't they?
Yeah. Dave.
There's one.
Andrew, you think over?
I think they'll win 5. I'll go with the over. Okay. But not a single one more than that.
I'm going the under. They're bad. I mean,
you're going under 4, so you're saying they only win one more?
They're only going to win one more. Like, they're fucking terrible. They blew a 21-point lead. They're never winning again.
They're going to beat Tampa for sure. That's a gimme.
All right.
And I'm still holding out hope they might sneak one in against the Panthers.
God, how bad does it make you feel that they beat the Saints? That one of those two wins is against us.
I know, right?
For some reason, I mean, as awful as that was, for some reason, the Lions' loss just hurts so much more.
Yeah, totally.
The Lions' loss hurts more because just the Saints, Atlanta, they were up 13, but the lead went away quickly because Atlanta scored right before the half and got the ball, and it got to be 2017, and then it was back and forth the whole way. Like, you know, it hurts, but the Detroit game, they were winning by 13 with 4 minutes to go, for Christ's sake. All right, let's get to Carolina. I'm going to start by saying I'm going to be in California on Thursday. I may or may not be able to watch the game. It's a dicey situation. I may be at an Indian. Hopefully, I'll be at an Indian casino in Palm Springs.
That's a problem.
So when I don't watch Saints games, like, weird shit happens. Like,
oh,
the last,
God.
The,
oh dear God.
Here's the last couple.
The day
times.
Before Halloween, I'm scared.
I'm trying to think of the last time I couldn't watch the Saints game was when in 2000, I think it was 10, when Pierre Thomas caught the winning touchdown, like with 5 seconds left. It was a storm at my house, and I didn't get to watch the whole fourth quarter. So that was one. The Reggie Bush game when he ran both punts back against Minnesota.
So it's a good thing if you missed the
it
game.
It could be, but it can be the Tampa game. The last Saints game that I didn't watch a single play was the Tampa game in 06.
When
Reggie ran the punt back.
Oh yeah, that was his first.
Oh, the game winner.
Yeah, and that was like pre like all this stuff. So I was just having people, like, I had a friend of mine, he was just texting me updates.
I can't believe you missed Saints games. I literally can't think of a single game since like 91 that I've missed.
I missed portions of games, like the Minnesota game and the Carolina game. Like, but you have DirecTV, if it storms, you get fucked. Okay. And it used to be,
why would you
it
have
used
DirecTV?
To be terrible. You know, now
I have DirecTV because if I don't, then I can't watch the Saints.
That's me too. So, yeah. So like, but I mean, DirecTV is better now, Andrew, but it, like, I would say up until like about 2 years ago, like, if it drizzled, you weren't getting shit.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes, man. If I gotta drive somewhere.
Another Saints game. The Saints Atlanta game from 08, the power transformer in my neighborhood blew out and I didn't have power. Though that one in the Tampa game is the last Saints game where I didn't see a single play. So it could get it could get really weird against Carolina. But
what happened in that 08 game?
I fully expect it to get really weird.
They got hammered in that.
Well, that Vikings game that you mentioned, they lost that one too in overtime.
Yeah, but I mean, so
Ralph, you better find a way to watch this.
I gotta find a way. The thing is, is there a way to watch on your phone?
Not that I know of.
Because like if it was just a regular Sunday
football
game,
on your phone.
I have it if it was because I can have the DirecTV on my phone. I can have the Sunday ticket, but the Thursday night game not. So
well, do some research, Ralph. You need to watch this game.
I know. So Dave, let's start with you. This I feel like Dave that this is Carolina's got to win this fucking game, and they are going to go balls out. Like they might not play. They might not play as well Thursday the rest of the year. But they're going to go balls out against the Saints on Thursday because they cannot go to 3-5-1.
Balls deep.
So, Dave, okay. your thoughts on the Carolina game?
I agree with you, Ralph. I'm sure that they're viewing this game as uber important. But there's two teams playing the game, and I think the Saints feel the same way. I mean, I think you're talking about these are the two teams that are going to be pretty much vying it out for.
Let me ask you, Dave, what do you think the line's going to be of the Carolina? What do you think the line is on the Saints Carolina game?
I can answer that question.
My guess
would be, usually the home team gets 3 points, and my guess is that after the Green Bay, my guess is Saints by one.
Get this. It was Carolina by two early this morning, and it's been flipped at the end of the day to Saints by one. You are correct, Dave. But I have never seen a point spread flip 3 points one day.
But that worries me, Andrew, because Vegas.
That means people are pounding the Saints.
People are pounding the Saints, and Vegas doesn't lose money. So it's like people were 80% of the wagers on last night's game went on Green Bay, but Green Bay is a public team, so that's a little bit different. But I mean, that's concerning when the people are. That's right. Saints are up to a point and a half favorite, and it's probably going to go. Andrew, it's probably going to go higher. Like, because the Saints, even if they're struggling, like they have certain teams that the public just likes to bet on. It's the Patriots. The Broncos,
the Cowboys,
the Saints are still one of those teams. Green Bay, and I think the line by Thursday, I think it might get to two and a half favor of the Saints. Like that's the same. But Dave, are we going to laugh at Roman Harper? Or are we going to be bitching and complaining that he defeated the Saints?
I think somewhere in between. I think that I don't think we'll be laughing at him, but I don't think he's gonna. Be an integral part of the Panthers beating the Saints, but I think we might see something where we'll say, maybe we'll throw him a little bit of respect his way.
Are you going to mute your TV because Phil Simms and Jim Nantz are intolerable?
I don't mind. Do people
mind? You really nailed that word, Ralph.
I did.
I don't really have a problem with Phil Simms.
Oh, I fucking hate Phil Simms.
Really?
I do. I just fuck.
I'll tell you what, Collinsworth is probably my favorite, and I rewatched just part of the Saints game last night after I got home, and Collinsworth nailed it when
the bomb.
Yeah, when he was like, "Oh, I think you're going to see the next play." He nailed it to Brandon Cooks. I was like, and I've seen Collinsworth make similar predictions. Collinsworth. I'll tell you what, out of all the play-by-play guys. I think Collinsworth knows his shit more than any of the other guys.
I like Collinsworth too, and the reason why I like Collinsworth is I feel like more so than the only person that I would think watches more film than him is Gruden. Like I feel like I watch more, and I've said this before on the podcast, I feel like there's talking heads on the pregame shows that I watch more NFL games. Like I feel like I watch more games than Mike Ditka. I would bet a week's pay on it. That I watch, because I watch about 75% of the games in the little 30-minute recap on DirecTV. I would bet a week's pay that I've seen more NFL games this year than Mike Ditka. So, Dave, give me a prediction of the game, and who are we going to be talking about next Monday?
Prediction, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with 27-24 Saints. And I think we'll be talking about Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham's going to have another one of those of his monster games, 100 plus yards, 2 touchdowns. He's back.
All right, Andrew.
Yeah, Dave kind of stole my thunder there with the points. I was going to say 27-23. So I'm a point off, but I'm going to stick with that. So Saints win 27-23. I think the game plan is going to be very simple for the Saints on offense. It's identify where Roman Harper is on the field and throw to the guy he's covering. Yeah. Every single play.
Do you think, Andrew, do you think Carolina's going to – what are they going to do? Are they going to sell out? Like against Seattle, me and Andrew were talking before the podcast, they really try to sell out to stuff that Seattle run, and they didn't really do a good job of it. So what are they going to try to take away from the Saints? Do you think they're going to –
I think without Greg Hardy, they're like, we've got to get at Breeze somehow, and I think they're just going to blitz like crazy. I could be wrong, but I just feel like they're going to try to – get in Breeze's face and sack him and get some pressure on him, because without Hardy, if he gets too much time, he'll torch him.
Well, we'll see.
My player of the game is Roman Harper, not for good reasons.
I, as people have emailed me relentlessly today and on Twitter mentioned, in my Saints column for WWL, picking the Saints, just straight up the Saints games, I am now 1-6 on the year. The only Saints game that I've gotten correct is I picked them to beat Minnesota, and I didn't even get that right against the spread. Against the spread, I think I'm now 4-3 with the Saints. But
did you pick Tampa to beat the Saints?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I did. So I picked Green Bay this. I picked Green Bay this week too. But here's the thing. So I know that I'm really bad at picking games. I just think Carolina's got to win this fucking game. It's Thursday night. The Saints struggled last year to beat Atlanta coming off a short week. They barely won like 17-30. I think the game's going to be 30-16 Carolina. It's going to be close, but Drew Brees is going to make a fuck up late because Carolina's going to blitz him, and it's going to end up being 30-16. I don't think it's going to be – people make it out to be a big, huge win. I don't think it's a death blow for the Saints if Carolina gets to 4-4-1 and the Saints are 3-5. It's still a long way from decided. But I just don't see Carolina losing this game, because if Carolina loses this game, the Saints are in – I would say if the Saints win this game, their odds to win the South will be like 5-3 or 4-2. Like it becomes – really, really strong Saints win.
What's the next opponent after this? It's a home game, right?
Since then, they play 3 straight home games. They play San Francisco, Cincinnati, Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope they can run the table there. Hopefully.
I mean, I think that's the only games that I think the Saints defense will have really, really a lot of issues are Pittsburgh and Chicago, maybe, but they're a dumpster fire. They may be done by the time the Saints get there, and Baltimore could give them trouble. But I think the rest of their schedule, it's going to be a lot of coin flips, but there's nothing, Andrew, put it this way, there's nothing as scary as Aaron Rodgers was yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to say 30-16 Carolina, and I'm like, this is the worst year in my column of picking games. Like, my record is like not even 400% correct.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're picking Carolina.
Man. I'm a terrible picker. So, go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave's got a ton of stuff. He's got threads all over. I like hopping in the thread because people get either real excited or they get really mad during the game.
Now we got to tell everybody tomorrow night on ESPN at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
7 o'clock New Orleans time. 8 o'clock Eastern.
E60.
E60 is doing a whole thing on Rob Ryer, and that's supposed to be pretty damn epic.
Yeah.
So make sure you're watching that. Yeah,
DVR that. And you go to.
Yeah, by the way, Rob, you're never allowed to cut your hair again.
No. Never, ever again. And then
hashtag save Smitty.
Oh, that's the thing. Before go to Saints Nation, because Andrew's got his grades. He totally cheated Drew Brees. His grade is outrageous for Drew Brees, but you need to go there. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you need to go to Saints Nation and click it, and then make a horrible, nasty comment about Andrew and his poor grading of Drew Brees. We need to start a Kickstarter to have a banner fly downtown Atlanta, save Mike Smith. We need this to happen. I have enjoyed the Mike Smith era thoroughly. The man makes horrible decisions on fourth down. He is extraordinarily mediocre, and I will miss him. I will cry when Atlanta fires him. I will shed a tear. They need to keep him. They need to give him at least one more year. Does anybody disagree?
I agree, no, but you never know, man. It could be worse.
My fear with Atlanta is they fire Mike Smith and they hire Harbaugh because San Francisco gets rid of him.
I mean, I was worried about Lovie Smith in Tampa. I was worried about that hire, and you know, who knows? This is just the first year, but that's arguably been even worse than Shiano, at least in year one.
It was pretty bad. So we're looking at the third rebuilding project for Atlanta since Sean Payton. Because they had Bobby Petrino. He was there for
that was a dumpster.
That was the best. They need to bring him back. But we might have to start a Kickstarter. I wonder how much it costs to fly a plane banner in downtown Atlanta. Maybe
as long as this doesn't take away from the Kickstarter that sends me to the Greenbrier next year.
No, we need to get on that too. And you need to donate. Donate whatever you can. We need the money to pay for our fees next year and Kevin's horse steroids for wrestling. And I promise to have the Android app available.
Now make sure you keep some money in reserves for that liver transplant, Ralph.
I do. I drank heavy for LSU Ole Miss. I did not need to drink that heavy for Saints Green Bay. But I was drinking heavy for LSU. It was
a magical weekend.
It was by far the best weekend of the year. And the thing is, in 2 weeks, we get LSU at night against Alabama plus more Saints games. So, I mean, the Saints are going to be – would you guys agree with this, and then we'll get out of here. Would you guys agree that the Saints are – because they won yesterday, they're going to be in contention in the South, whatever that is, whether it's 7 wins, 8 wins. They're going to be in contention until the bitter end for the South.
Yes.
Worst case scenario.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
I still think they've got to win.
Well, no, not that they'll definitely win, Andrew. But they're not gonna slide back and be like 5-6 wins. They're gonna.
Yeah. I agree.
But if they had lost,
I feel like the confidence of they never lose at home is creeping back. You know, I think for a second there with the Packers coming in, they're like, okay, here comes the death blow of this streak that's going to be gone forever up in smoke with the season. But now that they've beaten the Packers, I think there's that sense again that, hey, even if they go 0-8 on the road this year, they might still end up 8-8.
I think the home winning streak, when it ends, it won't be to a team like Green Bay, it'll be to some shit garbage truck team where you'll be like, God, I can't believe the winning streak ended to them. That's my prediction. But anyway, go to Canal Street Chronicles, go to Saints Nation, and email me ways to watch the game on my phone.
And angry.
If I'm not an Indian casino, I might have to just get Twitter updates, and that would be very sad. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's working, quote unquote, I'm Ralph Marlboro. Until next week, be well.